From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. And it's great to be back. And I'd like to say hello to my partner in crime, Mr. Randall Berger. How are you, Randy?
Well, young William, I'm absolutely fine. And you know, we haven't been gone all that long.
Well, no, it's been a week. It's been a crazy week, you know, and it has.
Has it been a crazy week? Every day, something new.
It has
stranger.
Been. Yeah, I know. It's been a little terrifying for me. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on with the show. But I wanted to start us out with some very good news. Would you like to hear some good news?
Yeah.
Because a lot of
I'd love to hear some good news.
Because a lot of people, you know, our Bernie guys would be listening to this broadcast, and because I would have offended everybody else. So
yeah, me too.
So listen, I love you. Hey, by the way, I wanted to say one thing before we push on. I checked the numbers of our podcast. You know how many people listened to us in the last 30 days?
10?
That's right. 10 people in my backyard. 17,000. Over 17,000. Oh, my God.
Listen to them. They love us. They love us.
I got to say something. We've actually hit a mark right now where over 650,000 people have actually listened to this show. In the last 30 days, we had over 17,000 people that had listened to the show on all of our network things. So I want to say all those people out there who listen to this show, we love you. Thank you.
We love you.
We do.
Well, we can't see you. We don't know you.
But
we get these stats. You're just stats to us, but they're nice stats.
They're lovely. And it's also the fact that, you know, sometimes it's you and me and we just go off somewhere. And these people are okay with just listening to that.
To me, go off on a tangent or come up with the latest little trivial thing I can think of.
We'll both be appearing.
I drive you nuts. You hate me.
No. But we'll both be appearing at a nursing home in about 10 years. So
Are we gonna do Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys forever?
That's right. It would be. We are a Neil Simon duo. Anyway,
the geriatric odd couple.
The geriatric odd couple. So
the
anyway,
old couple. We'll just call the old couple. Yeah.
Let's get down to the good news. I want to play for you something that, as you know, Bernie only won one primary. But I want to tell you about the primary he did win, guys.
Yeah.
So you know that Hillary did very, very well, another thing. Bernie almost got her in Connecticut. But let me tell you something about the Rhode Island primary. The Rhode Island primary is an open primary.
Yeah.
Okay? I want you to hear what happened in Rhode Island where everybody got a chance to vote. Listen to this. This is off WPRI in Rhode Island.
And on the Democratic side, it was a big night for Hillary Clinton everywhere but Rhode Island, that is.
And the former Secretary of State lost locally despite the support of the state's top Democrats, including Governor Gina Raimondo.
Eyewitness News reporter Steve Nielsen continues our in-depth coverage of campaign 2016.
Well, since the early 90s, when Bill Clinton first ran for president, Rhode Island has been Clinton country. That is until now. It's been noted many times in this election that generally when voter turnout is high, Bernie Sanders does well, and when it's low, Hillary Clinton wins. Well, consider Rhode Island the outlier, because on the Democratic side, turnout was actually down, but Sanders cruised to an easy victory. The Vermont senator held a rally for thousands at Roger Williams Park on Sunday. Saturday, Hillary was in town in Central Falls trying to rally minority voters, but ended up only winning a small victory in Rhode Island's smallest city. Not enough, as she lost the state 55-43. A surprising differential considering the state's congressional delegation and Governor Raimondo worked in unison to support the former Secretary of State. Raimondo is a superdelegate, and she told us despite Clinton's loss in the state, she will still vote for her as a delegate.
Yeah, first of all, let me just say to the superdelegate, fuck you.
Well, there's that, yeah.
I don't care what the people said. Oh, fuck that. But what I'm trying to get at, Randy, is that was an open primary. All the other ones that he lost, closed primaries. You know the difference between an open and closed primary? An open primary means that people get to vote. Independents get to vote. And that's... Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the general election... It's not a closed primary. It's an open primary.
Yeah, as long as they'll let you vote. And they don't try those if you're a felon or if you don't have photo ID or any of those other stupid things.
Oh, yeah, and all the voting rules that have come in.
All favor the Republicans.
No, and they also favored Clinton so far. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying is that, look, we have always said Bernie's a better general election candidate than Hillary Clinton. And Rhode Island is the proof.
Yep.
Because every time you have an open primary where independents who basically are usually the ones that decide elections, when they vote, Sanders wins. Okay? So that's just my take on that. So that's good news. I just wanted you all to share that.
I'm very happy.
I'm happy to. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rhode Island cheer squad. There she is. All right. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk a little bit about Hillary because, you know, I can't get through a broadcast without actually saying a little bit about Hillary. You may have noticed if you were on Facebook in the last 2 weeks that all 7 of the largest Bernie Sanders Facebook sites went down.
They complained.
If you complain about a site,
Facebook are obliged to take it down and investigate it.
Yeah, well, somebody, so who we don't know, may have done that. And this leads into our next story is... Hillary's Mission Impossible. Yeah. Let's hear the theme.
Well, if she gives me $1 million, I'll change sides.
Yes. Hillary's been running a little dark campaign, folks, because she's starting to look more and more like Nixon every minute of the day.
Watergate Hillary.
The Guardian, the Independent in Britain. It said basically... Clinton's internet troll campaign against Bernie is a new low. A political group says that it has put $1 million. That's right, Mr. Powers. $1 million.
What would Montgomery Burns say about that, Bill?
$1 million. Let loose the Kraken.
Smithers was...
You know, every now and then I really do picture Hillary with winged monkeys.
Fly, my pretties, fly!
Take down the Facebook site! really? Come on. Haven't you thought that just a bit?
Unfortunately, Carly Fiorina's getting all the wicked witch stuff, too.
She's getting all the wicked analogies. But anyway, the Washington Post reports that the organization being funded by a super PAC. It's called Correct the Record. Now, Correct the Record has a $1 million budget to break into Facebook sites and scour the internet and basically let loose the Kraken, the trolls. These are the Kraken, and basically what's happened is Correct the Record with a $1 million budget from a super PAC that is funded by corporations is run by a guy named David Brock, who has earned himself the titles. David Brock. Now let me tell you a little bit about David Brock. Gather round, children. Once upon a time, there was a guy named David Brock, and he earned himself titles such as Rat Wing Political Assassin and turn left-wing political assassin. In 1992, he rose to infamy. Listen to this. He rose to infamy by viciously attacking Anita Hill.
Oh, I remember her.
The Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas's assistant, who accused the judge of sexual harassment and lewd behavior. In 2001, he confessed to lying and disavowing his disingenuous tactics. He explained he used virtually every derogatory and often contradictory allegation I had collected on Hill into a vituperative mix.
Say that again.
Vituperative. I demonized Democratic senators, their staff, and Hill's feminist supporters without ever interviewing them. For the 2016 cycle, he decided to use his talents to attack Bernie. According to the Washington Post, earlier this year, he said Black lives don't matter much to Bernie Sanders. Accused him of not being healthy enough for office, that he was a socialist. Think about what the Republicans will do, the fact that he's a socialist this fall. That's his quote. Bernie Sanders has said that Clinton should be ashamed of her association with him. He's probably right. But the connection has helped the Sanders campaign. And then Till, of course, because when basically they launched an attack in the Huffington Post, and they tried to link Bernie Sanders with Hugo Chavez.
I thought Chavez was dead.
With Hugo Chavez and Jeremy Corbyn, who called Osama bin Laden's death a tragedy. Now, he was in no way associated with any of these people. The email was blatantly misleading, and the attack was so negative that Bernie Sanders received $1.2 million in small donors because of it. You know what? And you know what? Hillary, fuck you, too. I'm going to say something a little bit later on in my bit of the broadcast. I'm going to say some things later on.
Bill, it's all your broadcast if you want it. It's got your name on it.
But don't ever think that I don't have a memory. This is Watergate, Nixonian paranoia shit. Now, going straight to, at a time in which Hillary Clinton should be really looking to get Bernie Sanders supporters with her, right? So, basically, I want you to listen to this, and I'm sorry, I'm not letting you talk, so I will on this
I'm
one.
Oh, I'm talking. You've just turned this off my mic.
I didn't turn off your mic.
You said it was paranoia.
Yeah, poor Randy's sitting there going, is this on?
tap, tap, tap.
So I want to show you how arrogant and absolutely really venal the Clinton campaign is.
Well, I know. I've been seeing it every day, every minute.
We've been seeing it every day. But here is what when Rachel Maddow asked Hillary Clinton, what should she do? Because basically Sanders said, look, I can't deliver my supporters to you. You're going to have to talk to them because we're not lemmings. You know, we actually think for our own and we're concerned with issues. You're going to have to talk to our issues. And Bernie said, hey, listen, I'll do everything for you, but don't expect me to deliver the voters on a stick to you, because you know what? He respects
exactly.
us. Exactly. Not the way she feels about her voters. Because her voters, to her, it's just voting blocks.
And Willie, Kaiser Bill, every time they push us, every time I read one of those, oh, Bernie, you're a loser, it's time to pack up and go home, I get harder. I get more and more angry at their tactics, so I become more firmly behind Bernie.
And it's the stupidest thing in the world, isn't it? I mean, listen, I don't want to see Donald Trump elected president of the United States. You are the politically stupidest person I have ever met. So this is Rachel Maddow, and she's actually been asked the question, basically, what do you want to happen if Bernie isn't running, okay? And basically, she, in the framework of Randall, asking her, what does she have to do to get Bernie Sanders supporters to support her? Okay? And now she goes back immediately to what she did with Obama. And this tells you everything about her. Here it is. Hold on.
40% of my supporters said they would not support him. So from the time I withdrew until the time I nominated him. I nominated him at the convention in Denver. I spent an enormous amount of time convincing my supporters to support him. And I'm happy to say the vast majority did. That is what I think one does. That is certainly what I did, and I hope that we will see the same this year.
That was June 7th, 2008, when you got out of the race and endorsed President Obama. June 7th, 2016 will be the California primary this year. Is that when you, if you're ahead in the vote, if you're ahead in pledged delegates?
I am ahead. Look, I have the greatest respect for Senator Sanders, but really, what he and his supporters are now saying just doesn't add up. I have 2.7 million more votes than he has. I have more than 250 more pledged delegates. I'm very proud of the campaign that we have run.
I'm very proud, and you know what? Yeah. We have more
270 million votes. Hillary is a vetting process. It's a vetting process. It's not an election. She doesn't have 270 million jack.
Well, I'm telling you, man, if you want to attract voters to your side for a general election, the thing that I think they'd really dig hearing is how proud you are of the campaign that hires David Brock, gives him $1 million to slander Bernie Sanders after it's actually mathematically probably impossible that he's going to be able to nominate. You haven't called off that fucking hit squad. You're doing this. You're rubbing our faces into it every fucking day. And then when she's asked, she has the arrogance, Randall. The fucking arrogance of this woman is unfucking believable. She basically sits there and says, "Well, I expect you to deliver your voters to me. Yeah, to me.
Like I did to Obama. I did it
you
to
know
Obama.
What, Hillary, if you can't get off your fucking ass to come down to where the people are and maybe talk to us with a little fucking respect and inclusiveness, rather than sitting there and saying, oh, we won. Fuck you. We won. And then launching people like David Brock on us.
I'm entitled to your vote.
I am so... She's the stupidest person in the fucking world. I'm watching her. Because, you know, basically, I don't want Trump to be president. You know? Because if she is the nominee, which, by the way, that probably is going to happen. I'm sorry, guys. That's probably going to happen. I'm not quitting. Hey, I'm not quitting until Bernie quits. But I'm telling you,
The fat lady sings, and she's getting fatter and fatter.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, she is so fucking stupid, because I can tell you, after that appearance, thousands of Bernie guys sat there and went, "Fuck you."
Yeah, we're in it for the long haul, Hillary.
So pissing off your potential voting bloc is really fucking bright, you moron.
Yeah.
You are an arrogant ass.
Okay, two
it's
things.
Just arrogant.
Yeah, two things, Bill, two things.
Yeah.
One, Bernie says, why would I quit when we're up against the same corruption that I came here to fight in the first place?
Well, I think what's happening with Bernie... Yeah, but what I'm thinking is happening with Bernie is exactly what he has always said. This is a fucking movement. You know, this is a movement, and we are not going away.
And if he's got only 250 pledged delegates, fewer than her, he should still go to the convention.
Absolutely.
Because if it's a contested convention, he can take it off her.
Yeah.
FDR was a contested convention.
I'm
going to
talk. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but first I want to get to the absolutely fantastic... this is something I really wanted to talk about. This is... kind of drags that in. I picked up a clip the other day, and the clip was basically a quote of Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh!
And I think about... I don't know what that sound is. Hunter S. Thompson, read by Johnny Depp. And the thing about Bernie that really has always impressed me is that he's been the same since the 60s. You know, he has actually been the same. He walked with Martin Luther King. He was there in the 60s. And he is the last, he really is a 74-year-old guy that just got pissed off enough to say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And he did it. This is a clip that I think you find rather interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So let me play this clip, and it's Hunter Thompson talking about the 60s, and I think you will find that in this election season there's been a mini wave. Listen to this clip.
Strange memories on this nervous night in Las Vegas. Has it been 5 years? Six? It seems like a lifetime. The kind of peak that never comes again. San Francisco in the middle 60s was a very special time and place to be a part of. But no explanation, no mix of words or music or memories can touch that sense of knowing that you were there and alive in that corner of time in the world, whatever it meant. There was madness in any direction, at any hour. You could strike sparks anywhere. There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning. And that, I think, was the handle. That sense of inevitable victory over the forces of old and evil. Not in any mean or military sense. We didn't need that. Our energy would simply prevail. We had all the momentum. We were riding the crest of a high and beautiful wave. So now, less than 5 years later, you can go up on a steep hill in Las Vegas and look west. And with the right kind of eyes, you can almost see the high water mark. That place where the wave finally broke and rolled back.
Okay. That, I think, is an amazing piece of writing. That's from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Of course, Johnny Depp does it.
Yeah.
The reason I played it is I really wanted to get serious on one thing. The truth is, this movement, the people who have done this all over America and in Democrats abroad all over the world, this is a success. It doesn't matter about the election. Of course, it matters about the election, but what I'm saying is that this is the wave. This is the little wave that's happened. This kind of energy happens like when a gender. Susan Sarandon said it the best. She said, this is a candidate you get once every generation. You know? I have not seen a better candidate to be president of the United States
and this
at
is
this
our
period
time.
Of time. At this time than
this
Bernie
Sanders.
This is our
Sanders. Time, yeah.
But what he's saying is, wait. Maybe I can't. Maybe what we can do is keep this going. A movement in favor of absolutely immediate action on climate change. A movement that pushes the banking system to let loose and be regulated. A movement that talks about all those things. Income redistribution. Talks about saving this planet from, in 30 years, being a fucking Holocaust.
Yep.
Those are the things that are intrinsic to the movement. And this movement has succeeded. We changed the... Not just, I'm not saying me, more you guys out there in America, if you're listening to me, you guys changed the whole conversation. We pulled this woman to the left on so many issues. She's on record about these issues, and the only reason we're talking about income inequality right now is because of Bernie fucking Sanders. Okay?
Yep.
This is momentum, and this works. And the difference between the 60s and now is now we have political power. We have political power. We have fundraising. We have the connections. We've got a grassroots organization left over from this campaign that could be a pain in the ass to any Democrat who's in power.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. So don't you ever think that you have lost or that this campaign is lost. We're not lost till we go to the convention. And we're going to watch Bernie speak at that convention. And we're going to show people like Hillary exactly how many people within their party she's going to have to deal with. And that I really wanted to say. This brings me, of course, to the last thing I'm going to talk about today, and I hope you got that. But go ahead.
Can I just say the metaphor of the wave is terrific, because
isn't it?
Like a tsunami, you don't see it until it gets close to the shore.
That's right.
Enormous energy.
I've been watching the rallies and the people and the millions of dollars. Let me tell you, man, this ain't going to die. It ain't going to die.
And you said people are talking about things. They actually talk to each other in Bernie land.
This is a healthy thing. You know, I mean, really, seriously, it is a very healthy thing for the Democratic Party, but even if you're not a Democrat, for the national conversation for this to happen. But let me get to what I really want to talk about, and then we'll go for a break.
Yeah.
This is a story, and I have this to head it off with. Here's my opening that I did just for you.
The Bill Show presents... The zombies are in the mall.
USA! 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 USA!
Yes, that's our little intro for it. The zombies are in the mall, people. They are in the fucking mall. I got to tell you, I was sitting back, and Randy, let me include you in this conversation, and I promise I'll let you talk. But I was sitting back the other day, because I'm actually not working as much now because I'm doing some writing, and I have YouTube up here in the country, and for my sins, what I decided to do. And I was really pissed off because I was on the computer. I had been talking to some Hillary people. I was like, oh, fucking hell, I can't take this anymore. God, I'm starting to be so bitter that I'm just crazy. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to vote I'm not going to send away my ballot. Fuck her. That's it. She doesn't get my vote. And then I sat down and I said, let's have a look at Trump. And I, for the first time, Randy, I sat down and watched one of his rallies from start to finish, an hour and 20. And
oh, you'll never get that back again.
Fuck no. It was the most I'm serious, man. It was the most terrifying fucking shit I'd ever heard in my fucking life. I mean, I've always dealt with just little clips. I watched these crowds for an hour and a half. I sat there drinking. I had two vodkas to get through it. I want to share with you, okay?
750 mil vodka.
Yes, really, seriously.
The whole bottle.
You have to be medicated, because this guy, I want you to hear what he said. Now, he said it at a rally in which there was a riot out front. There was a fucking riot out front of this last rally. It was in California. This is what he said, and I want you to think about this. This is Trump when he's decided to act presidential. This is him being presidential. I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to come back to it in a minute. Here it is. This is Trump at his most recent rally in California.
People are coming in. Nobody knows where they're coming from. You know, the Obama administration is taking people in from the migration. We have people coming in from the Middle East that are brought in, and we have no idea who they are. There's no documentation. There's no paperwork. We're putting them all over the country by the thousands, and we have no idea what the hell is going to happen. We have no idea. So, look, folks, We're going to straighten it out. You know, I'll tell you, I was very honored because this last week, the Border Patrol, these are amazing people. They want to do their job. They're not allowed to do their job. They're told to stand back. Don't do your job. Stand back. And they endorsed me. 15,500 Border Patrol agents. And when we let them go to it, they're going to be great even before the wall gets built. But we will build the wall. Mexico is going to pay for the wall. We're going to stop drugs from coming in. We have to be tough. We have to be vigilant. We have to be strong. And I tell this story. Good. Thank you, darling. I love you, too. Look at that. It's great. But I tell this story, and in a way, it's a rough, rough story. But this country is so politically correct. We don't get anything. We don't understand anything. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand. And it's the story of General Pershing. Do you know that story? Does anybody know it? It's a rough story. And they were having a tremendous, this is before the First World War, they were having a tremendous problem with really radical Islamic terrorists. So General Pershing is having, was sent there to solve a really serious terror problem. They caught 50 radical Islamic terrorists. They caught them. They took the 50, they lined them up. They took a pig, and then they took a second pig, and they cut the pig open, and they took the bullets from the rifles, and they dumped the bullets into the pigs, and they swashed it around, and then they took the bullets, and they shot 49 of the 50 people. And the 50th person, they said, take this bullet and bring it back to all of the people causing the problem and tell them what happened tonight. And I got these massive votes, and even the horrible press, which is back. Oh, look at all those people. They're horrible. They're horrible. Among the most dishonest people I have ever met in my life, the press. The press. Oh, I'm so good at this stuff. I'm so good. It's so easy. It's terrible.
Guys, that's what fascism looks like. That's what fascism looked like. He encouraged an entire crowd screaming for fucking blood to applaud what is basically a war crime. And the relish in which he took in telling you that story, Jesus fucking Christ. This guy... and you were telling me before I started talking. Evidently, that story is bogus anyway.
Yep, absolutely.
It's totally. It was clarified by Snopes, wasn't it? That it was just a bullshit story.
It's false.
It's a bullshit story.
They rank it as pants on fire.
Yeah. But guys, listen. What I'm saying is that's fascism. That ain't nothing else. That's fucking fascism. This guy is a fascist fuck. And his followers are zip heads. And if these guys... I heard somebody the other day, Randy, saying, well, you know, maybe Trump gets elected, one term, and then the revolution will come. Are you out of your fucking mind? Seriously, man. Seriously? This guy has a fucking kill list.
Yep. If anybody's going to take their guns,
he approves a kill list. He's already threatened to fucking nuke the Mideast. He jokes about it. This guy talks about people like they were absolute shit. This guy not only disrespects the press, but if you want any investigative reporting happening ever again, get it. because Hillary may ignore us. Hillary may actually ignore us and treat us like shit because she is an absolute tool and a complete and utter manipulator. But this guy will pick you up in the middle of the night.
Mm, yep. He'll take your guns.
End of story. End of list, man. I can't go down that road. And I know that a lot of Sanders people will sit there and go, Bill, come on. No, man. Listen to that. That's the real fucking deal, Jack. That ain't no kind of like, oh, make pretend fascism. That's the good stuff. That's 1939 fucking beer hall shit. That's exactly what that is. Sorry. Your thoughts, Randy?
Well, you're absolutely right. That's how Hitler got the people to be apathetic towards the things he was doing for the Aryan race and eugenics.
Yeah,
was make up these stories about Jews, and once you blame somebody else for the problems, everybody will join you.
Well, but what absolutely bothers me, Randy, is who are these people, man? Because
who are his supporters?
Yeah, I think Boehner says that he's going to support Trump, but Boehner's a good German and always has been. But you know, seriously, I'm not kidding. These guys.
He's going to support Boehner's. John Boehner is going to support Donald Trump.
Yes.
You're kidding. The man who was three heartbeats away.
He said he
away.
Won't support Cruz because Cruz is even worse, evidently.
But you're talking about. The guy who was three heartbeats away from the presidency, You think he's going to do that?
I think that there's a possibility. I think that he said I'm voting for Trump, though it's not even a distant possibility. But the only thing I wanted to say is, if you're out there and you're for Bernie, guys, listen, this is serious fucking shit. And if I have to eat a shit sandwich at the end of this, I just listen to an hour and a half of this narcissistic psychotic. He's fucking gaga. He's nuts. And I want to bury each and every Republican up to their fucking waist. I want them out. I want them. We could possibly absolutely bury the Republican Party. I'm talking about the nitwits who've been blocking Obama for the last 4 years.
Yeah, let's have a blue Congress
and
a blue Senate.
So what I'm saying is, I know. I get it. I get where you're coming from. I'm as mad as hell, and I hold Hillary in so much contempt right now, but I am not going to let a fucking fascist become president of the United States. I just can't do it. I can't do it. So I would suggest to you, and I'm not judging you, certainly. I know some people have said, listen, if it's close or I'm in a swing state, I'll vote. I said, that's fair. I can't object to that. But to not vote... Oh, man, no. Listen, I want you to sit down and listen to Donald Trump for an hour and a half and tell me that you're not scared out of your fucking skin. Anyway, that's me. I'm done.
That's you?
That's it. 40 minutes. Good, no. Bill. I talk a bit.
That's it. Willie, it's terrific.
No, well.
You're passionate.
That's
passionate.
Why I hire you to say that shit.
Yeah, I'm not just a yes man.
I know you're not. So... listen, man.
Oh, they're just applauding you, yeah.
Oh, yes, okay. You've got your sound machine. Thank you.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. So anyway, enough with my serious ranting. We're going to be back in a moment because Randy has a rant for us that you will enjoy.
Too.
And we're also going to go to a comedy clip. And you have a comedy clip for us for today. You brought something in, Randy, didn't you?
Oh, I did, yeah. Well, let's see.
Was it Bill Maher that you were talking about?
Well, I'd like to do Bill Maher. Bill's always got a good laugh for us. Yeah. So let's have a listen to Bill.
Okay, so it's a little Bill Maher, then back again for Randy's Rant.
Do I look
bothered? Oh, you are awful, but I like you.
Audience knows one of my guilty pleasures is reading the tabloids. And this week, 25 things you don't know about me on the... To say I was tickled and delighted that this was the cover of Us Weekly is an understatement. And, I was in this once, 25 Things You Don't Know About Me. I there's mine. Yeah, see. Okay, so like Hillary, some of the things, I love to snack on hot chili peppers and I put hot sauce on everything. That was an actual controversy last week, but she actually does. Bill Clinton proposed to me twice before I said yes. The first time was about a threesome, but... When I was a girl, I wrote to NASA to ask if I could become an astronaut. They wrote a very polite letter back saying they didn't take girls. They're going to regret that in about a year. I am and always will be a Beatles fan. I also really love Adele because I'm trying to get the millennials. Okay. But, you know, we have something called equal time in America. So now the other candidates are getting their 25 things you don't know about me. Ted Cruz is coming out next week. Here are some of Ted Cruz's 25 things you don't know about me. I spent my entire freshman year of high school stuffed in a locker. As a child, I used to imagine what it must be like to have an imaginary my nickname at Princeton was Fuckface. My favorite Beatle is whoever your favorite Beatle is, if it would help you like me. Mirrors don't show my reflection. He is. I named the stick up my ass Hank. Here, Van, take some of your heart medication.
You're gonna be off the air, man.
Why? What'd you hear? My Cuban half once robbed my Canadian half at knife point. My children love to play hide and seek, sometimes for weeks at a time. Jesus once descended from heaven just to punch me in the face. And of course, I smell with my tongue. All right.
It's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Randy! It's ranty time.
Oh,
what
ranting.
Do you got for us?
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, actually I am.
I understand that.
Actually, I'm not that okay. angry. This is actually something okay. that's been a long time coming. And that's putting
right.
other than famous American men on currency. Now,
right.
many countries have other people who have, Sir mm-hmm. Edmund Hillary in New Zealand, people like that.
Yeah.
We've got, apart from the $5 note where we have Betty Windsor from England on one side, we have
yes.
other famous
Queen
people.
Queen Elizabeth, yes.
We've had Indigenous Australians and Lawrence Hargrave, who invented flight, sent his plans to the Wright brothers, never heard back from them, things like that. And this week it was announced, and this has been going on for over 10 years, this campaign, a woman is going to go on the $20 note.
And that
Harriet
woman is
Tubman, a well-known sort of
Underground
Railroad.
I heard about her,
and there are a lot of right-wing people came out. Boo, hiss. Andrew Jackson will still be
really
there.
Seriously.
He'll be on the other side, on the backside of Harriet Tubman. I've just got a little curiosity here. Harriet Tubman is not the first woman to appear on a legal U.S. banknote. The first Martha Washington. Martha Washington appeared
really?
On a one silver dollar note that you could be given, that you could take to a bank in exchange for a silver dollar. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Martha.
So it was still called the Washington.
Oh, good.
The Washington note, but it was Martha Washington. So she's not the first. If anybody wants to look it up, you can see her picture there. She looks nice and sweet in her little body.
Oh, she would. She seemed,
so she
seemed
wasn't
like a nice person.
The very first one. But Tubman is the first woman. She was a saint, who came out and helped free the slaves, as it were.
Underground Railroad that basically freed slaves.
She was quite a person. She lived for quite a number of years, but she will be there. There will be other people will appear on notes. I think they're going to start putting people on both sides of all notes, similar to what we do in this country. So you will see more people and more women appearing on banknotes, not just these ridiculous $2 things. They're actually going to appear on normal currency. So that's the that's what I want to talk about. Now, the first group that I'd like to talk to play a little clip from our friends at TYT, who picked this many years ago, and they're just having a little talk about it now. Right. So here's our friend Cenk Uygur and John Latarola, his offsider, talking about Harriet Tubman.
Here it is, right here on Randy's Rant.
It was announced today that Harriet Tubman is going to replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Although a little bit later on in the day, it was revealed that she's not fully replacing Andrew Jackson. He's not being booted entirely off of the bill. He's just going around to the back. He will remain on the bill, but on the backside, she gets prime billing on the front. And of course, if you've been following over the past couple of years, this is the result of a very long, hard-fought battle by groups like Women on 20s and a number of interested individual citizens, bloggers, and people in the media to have more diverse representation of figures from throughout American history on our bills, as opposed to just the presidents, who share several demographic characteristics with each other. And so Harriet Tubman had rated very well in the polling that's been done over the past few years of who should get onto a bill. At the time, we believed it would be the $10 bill. In some of them, Eleanor Roosevelt would win, I believe. We did a video where we said who we think should be on, and I'm pretty sure I said Harriet Tubman.
That's really funny, but
I believe that I did.
It's really funny because I'm pretty sure I said Harriet Tubman.
You did? I'm pretty sure I said it first.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, but anyway, that's obviously good news.
So that's really interesting about the changes. The $5 note will have leaders of the civil rights movement, and the $10 note will have people who were behind votes for women. I think it's terrific that we use our currency for promoting important things about American history.
Well, certainly diversity. And, you know, I'll tell you something. Andrew Jackson had a lot to answer for. Yeah, I mean, the Trail of Tears was basically, you know, it was genocide.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people don't know the fact that Andrew Jackson was a mass murderer.
Exactly. He was.
Harriet Tubman, I don't think that's on her resume. I think she helped people get away from mass
murder.
Anyway,
our friend Stephen Colbert does talk about the reaction to Harriet Tubman.
Oh, my God.
I love Stephen. Anyway, let's have a listen to him.
Yeah. Stephen Colbert on Randy's Rant.
Right off the bean, ladies and gentlemen, I want to start with the biggest, baddest story of today, and really every day, story of money. And I think when you hear this story, you're going to want some more of it, because earlier today, the United States Treasury Department announced they will be replacing renowned Indian stabber Andrew Jackson. I'm sorry. Native American stabber Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill with Harriet Tubman. Yeah. This is long overdue. Harriet Tubman is an American hero who risked her life repeatedly to fight slavery. So it's going to get a little awkward in your wallet when she runs into Washington and Jefferson. And it's truly exciting to have a woman on the 20. Although, unfortunately, due to the wage gap, it's now going to be worth $17. I believe... applauding the wage gap. I believe it should never have taken this long. Apparently, in the what to put on our money priority list, Woman and African-American both came after Cyclops Pyramid.
I love Stephen Colbert. And you know, the thing is, it's not going to be a 20. It's not going to be a 1750.
That's very good. That's very good. Very good. I'm absolutely... stunned. There's evidently a backlash about it too. I mean, there's the conservative backlash that, you know, it's like, what's happening?
Yeah, you know, our institutions are changing. I mean, they've been changing the money now for the last few years now to make it Ben Franklin 100, so because that is the currency of choice in the world, that it can't be counterfeited. So they have been making some changes. Now, Ben Franklin was not an elected official or a founding father. He was never president.
Right. He was a bit of a crazy guy.
Absolutely.
You know, absolute drinker, fornicator, all over the place.
All of them.
That's Ben Franklin.
Good old Ben. Now, if you remember Second City from Chicago, they were a comedy troupe. Many of them graduated to.
Did they do something on this as well?
They did something on Harriet Tubman. They wrote a musical. And here's a little...
Oh, my God.
Here's a number from Harriet Tubman, the musical from Second City.
Okay, here it is.
Harriet Tubman, you stealing my slaves again?
Maybe. You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
I don't know where to start.
What the hell?
You stole my slaves, now my heart.
Oh, shit.
I fight it all I can, but I'm a Harriet Tubman man. Grant me a wish, one kiss, you sexy abolitionist, and abolish my loneliness inside.
If you become less racist, love me all, not three-fifths. This railroad might give you a ride.
I'm the master, you're the slave, but we can role-play the exchange of power you'll enjoy.
Okay, let's switch. Go pick cotton, you bitch.
Now whip me, I've been a bad boy.
Yes. 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 Thank you.
You sexy Thank you, abolitionist.
Randy. Thank you, Randy. You know, I can always depend on you.
I'm glad I can make you laugh. You get so serious, Bill. I'm glad I can make you laugh a little bit.
It's hilarious. Abolitionist, used as a lyric, is hilarious.
Yeah, that was the people from Second City. With the Harry Tubman musical.
That's very funny. That's just wrong.
Now
it's
I've
wrong.
Got one little it's thing. Wrong. One little thing now.
Yeah.
That I'd like to do in the rant, not related to Harry Tubman, but to Ted Cruz.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now I've I've used a word a couple of times.
Yeah.
A German word.
Asshole.
No, not that word.
Demon.
Or the front bottom, the naughty front bottom word. No. This
disgusting, evil flesh
this
sandwich.
Is a
I think you used all those words.
No, I haven't. This is a German word, you know, like the ones we love, like Zeitgeist and Schadenfreude.
I love the German language. Go.
This is Backpfeifengeschicht. Backpfeifengeschicht is... has been used in conjunction with Ted Cruz on it means in essence a face that you want to hit with a fist.
Oh, that's what you mentioned a couple of shows
now,
ago.
Here is a little clip that tells you how to actually pronounce it. So our friends at home will be able to play this clip and practice this word, Backpfeifengeschicht. And so if you'd like to play the little Ted Cruz.
Like a shishish.
It's back
2016. That's what we're looking for. I want bumper stickers, man.
All right. Now you play this.
Yeah. All right. Here it is.
Yeah.
Here it is. German words 101 on Randy's Rant. Here it is.
Backpfeifengesicht. Backpfeifengesicht.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
That was
I can't say
one of those language.
It was a language tape.
Recordings, hence the music. But the word is backpfeifen.
Say it again. Say it again. So
okay.
I really
quiet. Okay. You ready?
Sound it out in syllable. Oh, sorry.
Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifenisch.
No, backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht.
That's it. Face that deserves
Backpfeifengesicht.
A face that deserved to be punched, or Ted Cruz.
Okay, that's it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So when we use that word, you know who we're referring to.
Yeah. but now we can refer to your friend, the Wicked Witch of Hewlett Packard. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Carly. Yeah. Really. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. I cannot get around that. You know, he's basically going up to people and saying, "Look, in the imaginary campaign that I have in my head."
Yeah.
Well, as Stephen
Colbert said, he's appointed his losing mate. Oh, but you got to play the clip later where she sings to Cruz's children, and it's
really creepy.
It's like the lost song from Snow White.
Really? Can we hear it now? Can we? Okay. I'll retrieve that. Here it is: Carly Fiorina singing to Ted Cruz's kids.
Okay.
Oh, no. I haven't heard this, so I really want to hear it. Here it is.
And Fiorina was clearly honored to accept this important job that will never exist.
I've come to know Ted and Heidi and Caroline and Catherine. I know two girls that I just adore. I'm so happy I can see them more. 'Cause we travel on the bus all day. We get to play. We get to play.
It's
like Disney gave the wicked stepmother her own song. I know a girl named Cinderella. I'm gonna lock that girl in the cellar.
That was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. Oh my god, she sang to them. It was like, and you're right, it's a bit creepy, but it was also like kind of sad. Because I have this feeling that Ted Cruz's kids are like really malfunctional, because they're living with a creep. You know that, don't you? So she is actually bonded with the children.
I think
there might be some human in Carly Fiorina, because she's bonding with these children in defense of crazy dad.
She's trying to soften her image because she really is a hatchet-faced old crone.
Oh, no, but listen, these children, I'm telling you, they go to Christmas with Ted and his father, Raphael Cruz,
yeah,
at the same social occasion.
Yeah.
Can you imagine every Christmas having to see that fucking loony bird? These people are crazy. So I have a feeling that Carly Fiorina is actually nurturing these children,
yeah,
because she's absolutely scared they'll turn into like homicidal maniacs.
Oh, you know, yeah, seriously. Without a doubt. Like,
they'll have so much repressed rage. It's not funny. Seriously. Oh, I'm sorry.
I knew you'd like that.
I did. So there you go. You don't get that on any podcast. Only here will you hear the greatest hits of Carly Fiorina. And it seems kind of creepy. So here we go. We're going to come back with the last segment before we say cheerio. It's going to be our tinfoil hats. And we'll be back after this short break.
I'm George Takei. As many of you probably know, I'm a Democrat. And as you may have seen, I've also been a fan of Bernie Sanders. Much of what he stood for, and helped bring to the forefront in this primary are things I, too, have fought for. I stood with the protesters at Occupy Wall Street and have spoken out often for campaign finance reform. I even crowdfunded to defeat entrenched corporate interests in Congress. So I like Bernie. A lot of folks like Bernie. Even God himself sent Bernie a tweet. But having been through many bruising primaries in my life, I'm also a realist. From where I sit, the math is clear. Hillary likely will win and she will be our nominee. But that doesn't mean Bernie didn't also win. He won in a myriad vital ways, none more so than energizing the Democratic base in a way no one expected.
Thank you, guys.
Young people in particular have become so passionate about this election because they recognize its historic importance. At stake is nothing less than the very soul of our nation. So I'm asking Democrats out there to take a pledge along with me. Vote blue, no matter who.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, Randy, it's tinfoil hat time.
Oh, hang on. I'm just getting my tinfoil.
Do you have tinfoil there?
Right. Yeah, I'm just putting it on.
You're actually putting tinfoil on your head.
Oh, look, I'm an old school radio guy.
Over 17,000 people listen to you do shit like this in the last 30 days. Yeah, that's... Oh, we need hobbies, man. We need hobbies. We really fucking need hobbies. I think this is it. Okay, man, what do you got for me?
Oh, look, I'm never... They never cease to amaze me.
Who?
How some people in authority in the United States can do the stupidest things. Now, in Battle Creek, Michigan,
yes,
the home of cornflakes and everything like that, the old Kellogg Sanatorium, a middle school teacher, grade 6 and 7 or something, was fired. She was a substitute teacher, but she was on sort of like full-time sub, and she was actually taking an art class. And she showed a picture of a particular artist. You'll hear her discussing this. And she was going to talk about the subject matter, and she thought, now, I can say vajayjay or something like that, and I'll lose them because they'll all go silly, or I can just come out and say vagina because that's what we're talking about here. So she used the word vagina. Nobody complained. The kids had a mild titter and carried on. But she was fired the next day.
Yeah, that'll teach her.
Apparently there was
Michigan.
You can't use the word vagina. There were rules against it.
Let's go to your
clip. Can probably use the word penis. You can use the word penis.
Yes, you can.
But you can't use the word vagina.
Yeah, evidently not.
Y'all gonna have a flame coming out of your vagina.
Okay, here it is.
Oh, go away.
From Battle Creek, Michigan, Randy's tinfoil hat, the poor woman who got fired for saying
the word vaginas in class.
Talking about duty parts. Here it is.
Because I wasn't discussing reproductive health. I was just discussing Georgia O'Keeffe, and I happened to say the word vagina. And Allison Wendt says administrators at Harper Creek Middle School didn't like it. Wendt says she used the word vagina during a class discussion on art and controversy, referencing a Georgia O'Keeffe painting. She says the school found out about it and fired her the next day.
I was pretty flabbergasted. I was really upset. I feel like I put a lot into the school.
Wendt, a long-term substitute teacher, says her eighth graders giggled at the word a little bit, but afterwards they had a productive conversation about the painting and topic.
I even considered using a euphemism during the lesson, but I felt like if I used a joke word or a like vagoo or vajayjay or something like that, that it would come off kind of silly, and I didn't.
I didn't want the lesson to be silly. Since then, Harper Creek has released a statement saying Wendt was not fired, but asked not to return as a sub for not following district curriculum. Wendt says she's apologized and received support from many in the school community, including her students' parents. She wishes, though, she had known the rules ahead of time.
I am very sorry for any offense that I caused.
Yeah, that's just offensive, Randy.
These are eighth graders. These are, what, like 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds? They're thinking about vaginas and penises and periods and all that stuff all the time.
Yes, that's all they think about. Trust me. I'm telling you, that
are you gonna
their
have
duty
to black
parts
out,
are very important to them at that age.
Are you going to have to black out breasts and stuff?
No, but you wouldn't want to have...
When studying, you know, Renaissance art or something?
Randy, you wouldn't want to have a productive conversation about sexuality to people who are going through puberty. Because that would be stupid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So that's my tinfoil hat.
Oh, man, they're just so... You know, and then they tried to weasel out of it at the end.
Yeah. Oh, she wasn't fired. She was just asked not to come back.
Oh, yeah. She just asked not to come back. And evidently, what you know what I like about the report is basically that the parents of the kids, they're okay with it. It's just, yeah. Just asshole. Asshole. You know, really, just asshole.
Well, they've been drinking some of the Flint, Michigan water there over
man.
In Battle
okay.
Creek. Yeah.
To top you, I have this cut. Oh, yeah. This is it. This is the good stuff, man. I went straight for the heroin. This is
Grape Kool-Aid.
Grape Kool-Aid, 100% pure, 100 proof crazy. And this guy, you know, I was telling you how many people will listen to our show. This is Alex Jones.
And I know Alex Jones,
he
yeah.
He gets millions yeah. of people listening to this zip head. This yeah. guy is a fucking nutter. He is an absolute funded corporate shill. There was news that the Koch brothers were part of funding, you know, some of his stuff. So this is Alex Jones, and he invites this guy on who talks about Obama being the son of Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it's Pastor James Manning.
Yeah, Damien
James
shit.
Damon,
you know?
James Manning.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you remember the old thing, The Omen? You know, it was like the son of Satan? That shit, but for real.
Yeah.
Here is Alex Jones getting all crazy Halloween-y on us. Alex Jones and his guest. Hold on.
I remember you coming on about a year before Obama got elected, and you were basically implying that he could be the Antichrist. And I know the Bible says there are many Antichrists. There's an Antichrist spirit building towards the final Antichrist. And when you study history, then you realize that it is like a spirit. It's a system. These people are like the same. They just get more advanced. The technology gets more advanced. But then I saw him go to Cairo, his first speech, and speak perfect Arabic, and they were all blown away. They said he was better than people in that country. Even the accent was Egyptian. Everybody was blown away. He's been anti-Christian. He won't let Christian refugees out, makes jokes about it, attacks Christians on Easter, has flies always landing on him, is involved in every evil you can imagine, persecuting black people, especially like he wants to destroy them all over the world, making sure they get killed and aborted. And,
you're not that right.
So, more and more, he really is a demonic creature. His wife is demonic. They don't act or look like any black people I've ever known, or any people for that matter. They just are weird. And like, we got to eat what she says, and schools are fine if we don't do what she says, and it's just really weird. Who are these people? Who is Obama?
Well, you know, I've gone ahead and advanced Obama as the son of Satan. He's not just an evil person. He is indeed the if you will, the emissary for Satan himself. He's the son of Satan. And because no one, Alex, has brought a level of evil to this planet. I mean, I know Mao Zedong killed 60 million. I know that Lenin killed a whole lot of people as well, and that was indeed rank evil. But they didn't bring necessarily the kind of spiritual evil that Obama has brought.
Yes, Randy, that was actually Alex Jones talking to our favorite guy, Pastor Manning.
Pastor James David Manning of the Atlet Church in Brooklyn.
Absolutely, and he's also our receptionist here
in Harlem,
at the Bill
in
Show
Harlem.
Studios. That's, yeah, I think that he might be he at the door, Randy. Come on in, Pastor
Manning. I thought I did give him a
down. Have a flame coming out of your vagina.
You're
talking about being hot.
Asshole.
Well, you sure not going to be hot. You're going to have a flame shooting out of your
vagina.
Give him
some money. Get rid of him.
You're going to need asbestos panties to stop that flame. I'm the Lord.
Bye. Bye.
God, you know, he works for so little.
Yeah.
You know,
he dresses really well, though.
He does. He dresses really well for a woman. He looks a bit like Klinger, if Klinger was a fat black guy.
Well, you got me there.
Yeah, I got you there. So anyway, yes, evidently Obama, according to Alex Jones, is airing this shit. They reach millions of people. And let me just say one thing about that tinfoil hat. I guarantee you a lot of the people, they're Trump supporters. And they believe this shit.
They do.
They believe this absolutely crazy fucking nonsense.
They've all drunk the Kool-Aid.
There's a percentage of of America that is absolutely certifiably insane. You know that, don't you?
Well, you know, Bill, I'm a bit worried.
What?
I mean, we use that dreadful thing, drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But you know, in 1978, you know, with the Jim Jones. Which was a very similar thing in Oakland.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah.
Same sort of cult of personality
It's very preacher. Much a cult of personality. But I don't think that people are going to be committing suicide. But I think what will happen if Trump becomes president is that you will have... it's almost unimaginable to me that I can't imagine that this guy is so... Bill Maher said it best. He said, look... This isn't like prom queen or like, you know, head of the parade. There are certain qualifications you need to be president of the United States. And not being a fascist idiot and a narcissistic sociopath should be one of them. You know, so
actually, I've got a question. And I wonder, I'll take this under notice and I'll come back. Has there ever been a U.S. president who has not previously held an elected office?
I think there has been.
I'm trying. But I'm going to go back. I'm
next
gonna go
show,
back.
We'll get that answer, okay, for all of our fans.
I will, because I can't think of any president who has not been elected going all the way back to FDR.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our little question. If you can email us, ladies and gentlemen, because you can reach us. Hey, do you like that segue? Do you like that segue? Was that
you're always pushing your own shit going.
Well, it's your shit show, yeah.
Show me the money. Show me the money.
No, we don't do this. Heaven forbid we should make money from this.
I just want to meet Cenk Uygur. I just want to meet Cenk Uygur.
I know, but don't be needy. Stop being needy.
I'm a sycophant.
That's a polite word for what you are.
Hey, here's another word. Here's another word for you. Obfuscation.
Obfuscation. Oh my God, I can't talk. Anyway,
I use that in content.
Your distraction will not stop me from actually going through this. So here we go.
My obfuscation.
Your obfuscation, whatever it is. If you want to reach us, folks, you can reach us over on Facebook on The Bill Show on XPR. We've actually been trolled. By people,
really?
Trump supporters, for some friggin' reason.
Really?
I have no idea. And the misspellings are absolutely wonderful.
I love it. I love it. That's terrific.
I dangled a shiny object in front of my computer and I kind of grunted. Yes, there were Trump supporters, but they're gone now. And The Bill Show on XPR added on Facebook. Reach us on our home website, which is www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. You can reach us also on Stitcher Radio. That's right, Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show. That's right, Stitcher Radio. And, of course, Podbay FM. Also,
and iTunes.
And iTunes. And the Evercopy
Apple iTunes.
So you can reach us all over the place.
And
say hello to Val.
That's a given. www.thebillshow.net.
And actually put some new stuff on it. So
I've been in there. Cleaning out the rubbish.
And there is actually new stuff on there. So have a look if you you know, got nothing better to
do. Well, there's always been new stuff, but it's just that it's really new stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of stuff we just put there, and it's all for your entertainment and consideration. Yeah. Get in touch with us, folks, through thebillshow.net. So until next time, in which we will once more go forth into this election season. What do you say, Randall?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Until next time, folks, we just want to say thanks for tuning in. We love you all. So long.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.